Good morning. Great to see everyone here. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. It's they say it's cool to come to church, so that's why we're all here. On a hot day like this, we want to be cool. We've got the fans going, and we will be cool. Now, I have a small warning for you this morning. I am operating today with new glasses, okay? So if I happen to fall out of the pulpit, you'll know it's... It's not it's what's in here, it's this. I'm sure Betty Ann will save me.
Excellent.
Over to you, Betty Ann. Come and save me.
There'll be no falling about today. Good morning, folks. And we have just a couple of announcements in the bulletin today. Next Saturday is an elders meeting at 9 a.m. Sunday the 26th of August, the Landykes will be here to share their mission work, and Youth Praise will be leading. And Sunday the 2nd of September, Reverend Reg Graves of the Canadian Bible Society will be here and lead with the worship team. Are there any other announcements anyone may have? If not...
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in St. John chapter 6, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.'" And we are thankful for that. I'd like to invite Dave and Laurie to come on up now and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Morning. We're going to start this morning with number 6 out of the red book, "Blessed be the Lord God Almighty." If you'll please rise. We're going to do this through twice.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. In our praises, as your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever.
Continue with 119, "I Stand in Awe."
Seen or heard, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? can fathom the depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Your infinite wisdom, who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe.
Prepare our hearts for worship. We're going to do 247, Not to Us.
Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name bring praise. How great you are, how great your fame, how marvelous your holy name. We are but servants who proclaim your perfection and your praise, your ever just and gracious ways. How excellent you are, Lord. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name bring praise. How great you are, how marvelous your holy name. We are but servants who proclaim your perfection and your praise, your ever just and gracious ways. How excellent you are, Lord.
Thank you, Laurie and David, for those approach choruses. Beautiful, we appreciate that. And now we bow our heads and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you have given to us this great joy and this wonderful privilege of being able to come together in this your house on this your day. And we thank you, Lord, for this day, for the beauty of the sunshine, for the beauty of the world in which we live, for the graciousness of the country, Lord, in which we live. And we are so thankful. And we are thankful for this, Lord, and we are thankful for all of the blessings that you shower down upon our lives. Whatever comes our way in life, Lord, we know, we are assured that you are always with us, you sustain us, and you fortify us, Lord, through every aspect of life. And we thank you. And so we come to you this day, gracious Father, to worship you. We come to lift high the name of Jesus. We seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name. And we ask you, gracious Lord, to accept the praise we bring. And we ask you, Holy Father, at this same time to speak to each and every one of us, to open our hearts, to open our minds. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us may hear your voice as you speak to us in the different aspects of our worship today. Bless us, Lord, as we worship. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson this day is 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 26 to 13a, God's response to David's sin. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had brought. He raised it, and it grew with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, As surely as the Lord lives, this man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. If you would join me in the responsive reading that is printed in the bulletin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be unjust when you see, and blameless.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me holiness.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Just to put those scripture readings into context for you, I put a note in the bulletin to let you help you place these scriptures, because the Old Testament reading is where King David took a fancy to the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and so he had Uriah put in the front line of battle so that he would be killed, and then he took this man's wife. The responsive reading from Psalm 51 is widely believed to be David's confession of sin, and so that just places it for you as to see what we're talking about here, and that confession of sin is the piece that we frequently use when we have Holy Communion, when we confess our sins. So there you are, you've got it all into context. And now I would like to invite Peter to come and present for us special music. Thank you, Peter.
I'm not done yet.
In anticipation. Thank you, Peter. We appreciate that. The microphone was there. You didn't use it. No. If only you'd realised. Thank you, Peter. During our offertory this morning, we will be able to rejoice once again in the talents of one of our young people, as Maran is going to provide our special music during the offertory this morning. Thank you, Maran. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious and holy Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these, our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Thank you. If the children would like to come and join me, please.
Try and figure out how to put this table up first. There we are. I think that's about it. Perfect. Did you all have your breakfast this morning?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I was in a bit of a hurry this morning. So, I thought I'd just have a bite to eat while we were here. Is that okay? What did you have for your breakfast? Cereal? Was it nice? What did anybody else have? What did you have? You had pancakes? Wow! You look at you. You had eggs? Wow! I've got bread and water here. Wow. Is anybody hungry? Who's hungry?
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry. Anybody else hungry? How many? One. Whoa. Just one? There you go. I I bet you wish you'd put your hand up now, dear. Anybody else hungry? You're hungry. Hold on. Let me go and check. We're in luck. Only the people who are hungry. Okay? You're hungry. There you go. You hungry? No. You hungry? Yep. You've got to have that piece now. You can't stick your hands in it and walk away. You hungry? There you go. You sure you're not hungry? No? Okay. You are hungry? Okay. You're not hungry? I've got no peanut butter. I'm sorry. I've only got... You hungry, Luke? There you go. That's good. You hungry? You hungry? You hungry? You hungry? Oh, he's hungry. Okay. I like bread. Who likes bread? Bread's nice, isn't it? It always makes you feel good when you've got bread. I think so. Because when you eat bread, you have to have something to drink as well, haven't you? Who wants a drink? Come on, have a drink. Water. Water's nice. Want a drink? Sure. There you go. You want a drink? There you go. You want some more bread? You want a drink? No? You want a drink, Luke? Here, you're in luck. Who wanted more bread? I got one more piece. All gone. You want some of this? There you go. You want a drink? You want a drink? You want a drink? You want a drink? Wash your bread down? No, I haven't got any coffee. I've only got water. I'm struggling here today. There we go. That's nice, wasn't it? I enjoyed my breakfast, did you? Bread is one of these things that we always enjoy it. You can eat bread with any meal and it's always nice. And you know what? What Jesus once said, something strange. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. What do you think he meant by that? Anybody any ideas? Oh, I don't think you do. You think, what does it mean? No. I am the bread of life. Why do you think God made us? God made us for a reason, didn't he? Have a think about it while I have my breakfast. Why do you think God made you? Nobody knows. Well, God made you to worship him. He wants all of us to have a relationship with him. Like you have a relationship with your parents, you know, and your grandparents and your family and your friends. You all have a nice relationship. You talk all the time. You're always sharing things. Well, that's what God wants us to do with him. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that means that if we worship Jesus, God is Jesus, then we will have a relationship with him and God will provide for us everything that we need in life. Because we also says in the Bible that you can't live by bread alone, this kind of bread. But if we have the bread of heaven, which is what Jesus gives to us, then Jesus says, you will never ever be hungry again. Now you've just had some bread now. Some people had two pieces. Who had two pieces? Because you were still hungry, weren't you? And because, how long do you think it'll be before you're hungry again? Not very long. I'm the same. I think before we get to lunchtime, I'll be hungry again. But Jesus says he is the bread of life. And if we feed on him, we'll never ever be hungry again. And we'll never be thirsty again. And that's all I have to say. So shall we say a little prayer together? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you feed us day by day. You look after us and you sustain us. And above all else, Lord, we thank you that you are the bread of life and we will never be hungry when we feed with you and on you. We pray in your name and for your sake. Amen. Over to you, Kathy. I better move this out your way because I don't know what you're going to be doing. Let's have your empties here. Everybody managed to eat the bread, did they? Yeah, that's good.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's get all this out your way.
We are full of energy, aren't we?
Let's get this out your way.
Jesus, Do you know that God's love is so huge, and that bread of life that Pastor Ian was talking about is so great, it's like having a banquet every day. Do you know what a banquet is? What's a banquet? It's a great big meal, a great big table filled with every good thing you can imagine. And you get to eat as much as you like. Banquets are come at weddings, is that right? And we have a little song about that. So stand up here and sing with me.
He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Should we sing that again? And then I've got another verse. Come on, you people, you join us too.
He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I am his and he is mine, his banner over me is love. I am his and he is mine. His banner over me is love.
Okay, stop there.
I am his and he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Well done. Now you can go off to your Sunday school class, okay?
Thank you, Kathy. This next hymn that we're going to sing, sometimes when I'm doing the work in preparing the worship service during the week, the Spirit sticks a tune or a hymn inside of my mind, and that's what happened with this next hymn. It's number 287, Our God Has Made Us One, and I had to really dig around to find a suitable tune for this. There's a few tunes that fit. The one that was set in the hymn book, in my non-musical opinion, wasn't really suitable. And so I dug around for this one. It's out of the old red book that we used to use. The tune is called St. Michael, and we stand and sing to God's glory, 287, Our God Has Made Us One. We come to our time of prayer. Before the service this morning, you know, we were all talking, and we talk about the things that make us happy and the things that are worrying us and all this type of thing. And when Joy and Ray came to talk to me, and he was telling me that he went to pick up Norman and Sheila this morning, and things are not going too well down there. Sheila had a particularly bad night, and hence Norman had a bad night, and he was so distressed that he walked past Ray in the corridor without even realizing that Ray was there. And when he did realize Ray was there, he didn't realize that Ray was there to pick him up for church. And you know what Norman's like about coming to church. This is his great heart's desire of every week to be here. I'd like you to keep them very much in your prayers. He's doing what things that are way beyond his capabilities in caring for Sheila as he is. And he's trying to get her into a place where she'll get more help, more medical help, more care. But it's like all things, you know, you've got to wait. And in the meantime, Norman soldiers on. And poor Sheila is getting worse daily. So on top of all of the other people who you've got sitting in your hearts and on your minds, and on top of all your own things that you care and worry about, I'd like you especially to keep them in your hearts and keep them in your prayers and just say a little prayer for them. And I know that you'll do that. So let us now bow our heads and come together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you once again for all of the joys and the privileges that we have by being part of your family. You feed us, Lord, and we are satisfied. We drink of your living waters, and we never thirst again. Father, may the presence of your Holy Spirit be very real to each of us as we gather here today. Help us to recognize the holy ground we walk upon today, and indeed every day. And may we give due reverence to you, Lord, who created all things and created all people. Help us to seek you, Lord, and find you in the faces of all whom we meet. May we reach out in your name to those whose needs are made known to us. And Lord, as you have provided for our needs today, help us to bring the spiritual food of your holy word to the people and to the communities whom we serve. May we be channels of your peace to the lives of men and women whose souls secretly yearn for the bread of life that your Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, offers to all who come to him. We ask you now, holy and gracious Father, to hear the silent prayers of our hearts as we present before you our petitions for those who are in need of your holy healing touch in their lives, those whom we worry about, Lord, those whom we care about, and we whisper their names right now, Lord, before your throne of grace. Father, as we offer our silent prayers before your throne, we also try to remember, Lord, to say thank you for the answered prayers. Because we come before you, Father, and we present the names of those we're worried about and caring about. And sometimes, Father, we forget to come back and say thank you. Thank you for that your healing touch is upon those for whom we care and pray for. And we can all think of many people, Lord, here within our own church family, within our communities, within our own families, Lord, who have been blessed by your healing hand upon their lives. And Lord, within our own lives, in our own homes and in our own families, we have our own private needs and situations. Situations, Lord, that worry us and trouble us. And we present them now, Lord, to you here in the beauty of holiness, in our own personal cares and concerns, Lord. We whisper them before your throne of grace. Loving Father, we also ask you to hear our prayers for your church throughout the world, and for all who serve the various congregations of our Christian denominations. Lord, may each of us play our part in bringing peace to the hearts and to the minds of your people, and may that peace, Lord, begin with us. We ask you, Father, to be with those who promote the peace process throughout the world. May their efforts be guided by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And may those who are surrounded by war, may they know in their hearts the peace, the blessed peace of your holy presence. We thank you, Father, for the Olympic Games taking place at this time. And we pray, Lord, for these games where so many different countries and nations come together. We pray, Lord, that they may speak peace with one another. And the peace that they find in the togetherness of this time, Lord, we pray that it may extend to them and to their countries and to their nations, that we may have peace in our world, Lord. Lord of grace and truth and love, we ask you to hear our prayers, the spoken and the unsaid prayers of our hearts. Fill your people with confidence and joy, Lord, and bring us with your saints to life everlasting. We pray in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
The first reading this morning is from St. John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, for which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to the work God require to do the word God to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. And from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, where it's speaking about giving a life that's worthy of your calling. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen.
Well, thanks to Carolyn. We appreciate those readings from the scriptures. Thank you. And now we're going to stand again and we're going to sing to the glory of God the hymn 452, Make Me a Blessing.
Oh,
Now, Kathy and I managed to hit those notes in that chorus. I know one or two others struggled with it, but thank you, Kathy, as I did. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you first meet up with people and you get into conversation with one another, you are tending to be looking for similar ground, similarities that you may have with this other person. And depending on the situation and at the time, we may describe ourselves in many different ways, because all of us are many different things. Let me try and expand on that. If you take me, for example, I am Ian Mason, okay? I am a pastor. I am a husband. I am a dad. I am a son. I am a volunteer. You get the idea? You could go on and go on and go on. We are all many, many things, and depending on who we're talking to and what the circumstances are, it will direct how we describe ourselves. Who I am, what I am. Imagine that you are at a party, you are mingling with the guests, and someone that you're talking to describes themselves to you as, I am the sunshine that will illuminate this party. What would you think of that person? You think, well, this person is different. We do not describe ourselves like this, do we? We say things like, I'm a hairdresser, or I'm a plumber, or I'm an accountant, or I'm a farmer. So what would you make of a person who came to you and described himself to you as, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. What would you make of such a person? Life revolves around bread. And bread is a very significant food in our lives. It is also a very particularly significant food in the Bible. It is involved in so many of the important theological events that took place in the Bible. One of the most important events in the Old Testament is the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land. But what caused the Hebrews to be in Egypt in the first place? It was, you will recall, bread. Or if you like, the want of bread. Drought had caused the wheat crop to fail, and the Hebrews had been directed to migrate to the land of the Pharaohs by Jacob's son Joseph. There was wheat, there was corn, there was food to eat in Egypt. And so it was bread, or the lack of it, that initiated the whole chain of events. So when the Jews left Egypt, and they were on their way to the Promised Land, they were facing starvation in the bleak wilderness. And what did God rain down upon the children of Israel, that they might eat and that they might be sustained, but the bread of heaven, as it was called, in the form of manna? When Jesus started his ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil. And as the hot sun beat down upon him, he looked out at the stones that were lying in the sand of the desert. And with his stomach rumbling after 40 days of fasting, and through the sweat that was in his eyes, he saw bread. But Jesus said to Satan, people cannot live by bread alone. They need the bread of heaven. They need the bread of heaven, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God our Father. One day Jesus was praying, and his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And it was in the midst of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus reminds us of the importance of bread, what we call the staff of life. And perhaps, supremely, we remember bread because on the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And so you can see we cannot escape the significance of bread throughout the length and the breadth of our whole Christian heritage. Following the miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus people that we talked about last week, you remember Jesus fed all of these people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus, would you believe, is then challenged by the people. Some of the people there inferred that Moses was greater than Jesus, because in the desert wilderness, Moses fed a whole nation of people. And Jesus pointed out that they were misinterpreting what had happened in the wilderness. It was God and not Moses who provided the bread of heaven called manna. It was God who sustained those people throughout all of their wilderness wanderings through the desert. And it was only meant, this manna, to be a symbol of the true bread of heaven. The real bread of heaven comes down and feeds not only a person's physical needs, but also their spiritual hunger as well. In one of her books, Mother Teresa says this, and I'm going to read this to you, and it'll be on the screen if you want to try and follow it up there. This is what she says. "The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of the third world people. You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. They feel unwanted and unloved. These people are not hungry in a physical sense, but they are in another way. They know they need something more than money, yet they don't know what it is. What they are missing really is a living relationship with God. They really deep down yearn for the bread of heaven." Mother Teresa understood the significance of just what Jesus is saying here when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Very sadly, the further that people drift away from Christ's church, the greater becomes their search for that which will satisfy their inner hunger, the inner hunger which they do not really understand. They search and they search for that which they cannot find, because they are searching in all of the wrong places. They are deep down yearning for the bread of heaven, but the bread of heaven cannot be found in earthly riches or in possessions. We must understand that to satisfy our hunger for heaven, we cannot eat the bread of earth. Life in its most elementary form depends on bread. But bread only sustains life. It does not make life what God intends life to be for each and every one of us. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." If we want life as God intended it to be, we need Christ. We need the bread of heaven. And it is only with Christ in our lives and having that living and working relationship with Christ that our lives can be fulfilled as God our Creator intends them to be. The Jewish nation had God's promise of a Messiah, a Savior. Although their idea of a Messiah and a Savior was entirely different to that of God. but they were constantly looking for, and they were always asking for signs. When Jesus fed the 5,000 plus people, they completely missed the sign that was given to them. And in verse 26, Jesus says, "You are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." You're always looking for signs, Jesus is saying. But when signs are given to you, you cannot see them. You miss them. And as Jesus points out, they ask for signs, but really, they're not looking for signs of God's presence. They want to see more magic, more miracles, more magic tricks. And they ask Jesus, "What must we do to do the work that God requires? What must we do to do the work that God requires?" Isn't that our question? Of God, of Jesus, what have I got to do the work that God requires? And Jesus' answer to them is also God's instruction to you and I. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is this, Jesus says, believe in the one he has sent. But these are the people who are always hankering after signs, even though they fail to see them when they are there. So again, verse 30. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give?" They want another sign. "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you?" And you know, we might shake our heads and criticize. But these Jewish people in Jesus' day were no different to the people today. People today are constantly hankering after proof. They say, "Give me some proof and I'll believe. Prove it and I will believe it." And the more people demand signs from Jesus, the more he tells them to stop looking for signs. Stop looking for things. Look for a person. Look for the Son of God. The Son of Man will give the gift that never spoils, is never wholly consumed, never runs out. He will give the gift of eternal life. And to receive this gift doesn't require any sign. The only requirement is to be doing the work of God. And God's work is faith work. To believe in him whom God has sent. To believe in him whom God has sent. God's greatest gift to us is to stop sending signs. And instead, he sent a person. He sent his Son. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something pretty special about the smell and the taste of bread. Kids all really wanted a piece of bread. And so did all of you, I could tell. Peter was your representative there. There's something about bread. It is so ordinary, yet it is so good. Bread is very democratic. It nourishes the poor as well as the rich. It goes well with meat, with fish, with fruit, with cheese. It may return 3 times to the table. It may even stay there all day long. Yet bread never ever outstays its welcome. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me shall ever be hungry. No one who believes in me shall ever be thirsty." And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We stand and we sing our closing hymns. And first, we start with the hymn 461. We sing to God's glory, "He Leadeth Me." God's people. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.